Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Dale Lippin in here with Trey Van Buskirk himself. I am hungover, but not from drinking that alcohol, not that alcohol like Jamie Foxx sang about, but from a massive fight weekend, man. Big fight hangover is real. It is alive. It is well. Your boy is lackluster at best, but I'm hoping to draw on the power and the radiance that is your good looks and million-dollar smile, Trey Van Buskirk. Power me through this episode, brother. How are you?
I was excited. I thought we were both legit hungover. I am actually hungover, Dale.
Yeah. Well, my hangover days are pretty much done. I don't really drink that much anymore. I just keep it on a steady, right? Rather than going like real, like, you know, it's almost like I keep my gas tank partially full all the time. I sit at 3/4 tank all the time, as opposed to topping it off or emptying it out. 3/4. I live my life 3/4 tank at a time.
You're that guy that goes to a gas station and puts just $5 in.
No. I always put 15 in. I don't want to do the five. I always put 15.
So is there a reason for that number?
I'm a serial killer.
100%. I didn't want to say it, but there it is.
Yeah. So we have a ton of, we have so much to talk about. It's weird because we actually have fights that we're going to talk about as well. There is a betting perspective and component to this show, but we would be remiss if we didn't sort of camp on this weekend, talk about it a little bit, unpack some things that happened, and move on from there. UFC 261 was, man, I hate to go huge, right? I hate to lean into hyperbole and let recency bias run the show. But damn it, Trey, it was one of the best cards I've ever seen from top to bottom, man. It was from top to bottom, one of the best cards I've ever seen.
So prior to actually the first fight on the prelims, you texted me and said there was only one other fight in your history where you got chills. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think I alluded to it. I've said it on our show before. Having kids makes you soft. And there are times now as a dad that stuff that normally wouldn't make me emotional or that I wouldn't care about, I care about a lot now, right? And get me quite a bit. In particular, I find myself with moments of greatness that kind of like get to – it just – I don't know, man. It gives me the little stingers in the corner of my eyes, if you will, right? It's usually the Olympics, if I'm being honest. Usually the Olympics get me whenever somebody's standing there receiving their gold medal, national anthem playing in the background, and they're crying, I'm crying, you're crying. It's just, it's awesome. It's like, it is one of the most underrated, but also one of the greatest moments in athletic, I don't know, athletic history, if you will. I don't know. It's so amazing, the idea of winning a gold medal in the Olympics, right? So that has always gotten me, right? The national anthem, it sounds like super like like patriotic nonsense. But dude, I've always been, even like national anthem, like a good national anthem at a football game, baseball game, whatever, at times can get me. Just depends on who it is, right? And the Olympics always get me. Anyway, 10,000 words where five would have done. The Miguel Cotto Antonio Margarito rematch was the closest thing outside the Olympics that I ever got. If you're not aware of the story, Antonio Margarito defeated Miguel Cotto in their first fight. It was widely speculated after the fact that Margarito had plaster of Paris in his hand wraps. So as the fight went on and his hands got wet from sweat, his gloves actually got harder. And the punches started doing more damage, and he ultimately ended up beating Miguel Cotto for the first time in Cotto's career. On top of that, it was a horrific beating, one of which that Miguel Cotto did not understand because he didn't understand why the punches started hurting more as the fight went on. But also, he got mad because boxing is one of those sports where you can legitimately kill a person. And if you have an unfair advantage, like something hardening your gloves, you can kill a guy. And a guy like Miguel Cotto, who has a bunch of kids, he took that to heart. Mm-hmm. However, years passed in between those bouts. He fought Manny Pacquiao. He fought Floyd Mayweather. There was a lot that happened since then, and it took years off of his career. But he finally got the rematch with Antonio Margarito. So he walks out Madison Square Garden. Everybody's there. He's, you know, Puerto Rican, but always sold out Madison Square Garden. It was just like his home away from home. He's walking out, and it's just fucking electric, man. They did so much buildup going into the fight, everything. And he's walking out, and he just has this, like, stoic murder face on. And I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, we're finally going to get to see it happen. And then he goes out there and just puts on the clinic of all clinics, like he was doing the first time, but you could tell that there was a difference, right? You could tell that there was nothing wrong with his gloves. He boxed Antonio Margarito's face off. Now, prior to that, Margarito had fought Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao broke his orbital bone, and Margarito's face was a mess. So what does Cotto do when he comes out? He just targets that eye again. And within like three rounds has Margarito's face the size of a watermelon. And then they ultimately stop the fight because Cotto just fucked his face up. At the end of the fight, and I'll wrap this up because I'm getting wordy here. He just sort of like jumps on the ropes and collapses, and he's crying and he's sobbing. He's so happy that he was able to right that wrong. You know what I mean? And I remember watching it just being like, damn it. Like, this is just like, you're getting me. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting me. Even now, just talking about it, it was like this moment of retribution, right? Like, a man struggled against himself and outside forces and came out victorious, man. It's beautiful, man. I freaking love it, man. I love our sport. I love MMA. I love boxing. I love the symbolism. I love the struggle. It's beautiful, man. I freaking love it.
Yeah, no, and he said, man, I didn't even know about that story, so thanks for sharing that. I swear to God, that was awesome. I will say this, though. I mean, going into the fight, you know, you could say all the variables, whether it's, you know, we're back at the Apex, we're in Jacksonville, yeah. You can say, you know, octagon size, all this different stuff, but the crowd element is such a piece that needs to be implanted into each one of these bouts. We said this from the moment this fight was going to take place, or this card was going to take place, that guys, take a look at the unders, take a look at the inside the distance. People are going to be hungrier, going to be more eager to get the finish. The crowd's going to put this anxiety, this weight, this pressure that no one can quantify. And that's what we saw. We had a bunch of listeners reach out and said, man, if I just played inside the distance of the whole fucking card and parlayed that shit, I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And I think what you said, you know, from the first It's Time that came out of Bruce Buffer, I think everyone sitting at home, sitting in the stadium, whatever, got these chills because it is an electric fan base. It's a sport unlike any other. And man, is Dana White stoked because UFC 261 was a clinic from prelim all the way to main event.
Yeah, it crushed me, man, because one, it's a return to normalcy, right? And you know how I feel about some of the stuff anyway. But I'm just anxious for the world to just get back, right? And it was one of those things, man, where they from a production standpoint, they showed a little bit more, right? So normally, if you've been to a live event, mm-hmm. you're sitting there, the arena's kind of like that half lit, sort of dark, right? Then they drop the house lights, and then the first fight shows up on the screen, and you get that like cinematic, and it shows it. Like the matchup that's getting ready to start. Well, they showed that. That was part of the production. Like, they zoomed up to the screen, the house lights dropped, and the Carnelosi versus Leon, graphic popped up. And even though it was only like a maybe a quarter filled or half filled house, they went bananas. And I was just like, man, this is it. Like we're getting there. Like this is a thing. And then Bruce Buffer comes out and he's got the mic and he's got that big dick swagger going. And he's just like, you know, ah, dude, just that ladies and gentlemen. And I was just like, man, it feels good to be back, man. It feels so good to be back. And then they freaking Carnelosi runs across the octagon and gets stung with that right hand. And the place, like the camera shook. They were so, dude, man, it was just, golly, what a great moment for the sport. And I was thinking about a way to quantify this, right? And because we have a ton of fights to talk about too, so I don't want to sit on this too long. But to quantify this, this felt maybe not of the importance, but it felt of the magnitude. Like 261 felt of the magnitude of the Stephen Bonner Forrest Griffin moment.
Wow.
Because it's a timestamp of a new era for the promotion. Like this is it. Like so there's the 261 moving forward is a new moment in time for the UFC, because we had this man-made, whatever you want to call it, block of time where the events were different, the matchmaking was different, everything was so different. Yeah. And yeah, man, it's so crazy. This will be a timestamp. This will be a timestamp in the history of the UFC this last year where there were no live events, and then moving forward from 261. It's akin to Griffin versus Bonner. This will be a moment where people will go from this moment forward or this moment backwards.
Yeah, and outside of viewership, I think just even from the athlete's perspective, you don't think that Mick Maynard and Sean Shelby's phones were blowing up after that.
Yeah.
How do I get on a freaking card right now? Mm-hmm. I'm motivated. Our people's main event, El Jefe versus the Mongolian Murderer. Talk about the best back and forth affair to the point where they're diving slip and slide style on the end of the third round.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But that was a prereq to how the whole card went, and through and through. Boom, dude. Statement card. UFC is alive and well again.
Yeah, absolutely. On any other night, that's fight of the night. On any other night, that was fight of the night. We were dead on any other night.
Yeah.
But we had three title fights. We had a main card that was absolutely wild. All finishes. So let's talk about some of these real quick. Anthony Smith plus 200. Jimmy Crute. Jimmy Crute looks like, you know, he lives up to his namesake, the Brute. He had no problem physically with Anthony Smith, but Anthony Smith landed just a beautiful, beautifully executed leg kick, man. I mean, he said it in his press conference. He's like, I hit him and it was so deep and it was so flush. And he's like, I kick so hard. You know, he's like, I kind of just, as soon as I hit him with it, just sort of realized, like thought, man, he's going to feel that. He's like, I just didn't realize it was going to be to that extent. I mean, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? Jimmy Crute was still able to secure the takedown on one leg, still maintain top position for the last 90 seconds of the round.
Yeah.
If that fight goes into rounds two and three and Anthony Smith can't continue to beat up that leg, even though his jab looked good, I think it's a different outcome. But damn it, if a beautiful technique didn't change the outcome of that fight.
No, and I think once the adrenaline dropped, the endorphins went away to a certain extent, Jimmy Crute understood, holy shit, he did kick it very hard. I mean, you saw, ref goes over and says, hey, you good? He's like, I'm good, and then takes a step, looks down, and then kind of like tremor steps a second, backs up on it, and then realizes that moment, fuck, I can't go forward, punches the octagon, and then it's game over. I think, you know, he's too strong for his own will, but to Anthony Smith's point, I mean, he kicked it flush right behind the knee, beautifully put, and it put him out.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Crute, given the opportunity, if the doctor doesn't step in, will stand there with his back against the cage and fight one-legged.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, yeah. Jimmy Crute's stock goes up in that fight, right? 100%. It goes up, even though, you know, it was an unfavorable outcome for him. His stock still goes up. It's crazy. Now, the flip side of that coin, a guy who gets a win whose stock probably goes down a little bit, even of no fault of their own. Uriah Hall gets the victory, first man ever to secure a victory inside the octagon without throwing or landing a single punch Uriah Hall defeats Chris Weidman via TKO because Chris Weidman's leg breaks, a la Anderson Silva. And what has to be the most MMA ironic karma-like moments I've ever I can't think of another parallel in sports akin to what we saw on Saturday night with Chris Weidman breaking his leg on Uriah Hall the way Uriah Hall, or the way Anderson Silva broke his leg on Chris Weidman's. And who do they compare Uriah Hall to more than anybody else? Well, his opponent that he just had in his last fight, Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
It's absurd. I mean, dude, the storylines in the sport are just ludicrous. It's like a 12-year-old trying to write the most exciting novel they can.
I'm going to catch a bunch of heat for saying this, but I'm just going to say it anyway.
Catch the heat.
I called Uriah Hall to win that fight, and obviously not by that. Not right. by that way.
Okay.
No, but the reason I say that is because I honestly think that Uriah Hall, if that fight went on, he was going to win that fight. And if he did, you want to talk about stock eroding, stock going away, Chris Weidman would be the biggest call to action on, you know, the Monday following would be, hang it up, Chris. It's over. You had a good run. You were a champion, you know, but it's done.
Yeah.
This gives him an opportunity to see the resurgence, see the comeback that is Chris Weidman. Do I think he's actually going to have a true comeback? Absolutely not. But it guarantees him a fight versus the call to action that would be hang it up.
Well, Chris Weidman was always going to fight again regardless. If he goes out to a unanimous decision loss or knockout to Uriah Hall, high likelihood he gets cut by the UFC.
Yeah,
but he'll go to Bellator. Like, Chris Weidman is not done whenever he leaves the UFC. He will go and fight Bellator. They'll match him against freaking Lusasi or some shit like that. Like, they will do that to him. They will bring him on at another promotion. I think that he knows enough and has enough people that care about him in his corner to not let him go to, like, bare knuckle, or go to one or something like that where he can get soccer kicked to death. But I do believe that he will fight again, regardless of whether or not that fight with Hall came to fruition as far as completion is concerned. And in some instances, it did come to completion. I do think, though, that we see Chris Weidman again, probably take about 18 months off. He'll come back. It'll probably under the premise that this is going to be your last fight, bud. They'll give him a semi-favorable matchup, a Maki Pitolo of sorts, somebody outside the top 15, something that he should be able to win, and they'll try to send him off in the sunset, at which point he may, hopefully, Lord willing, stay retired. But in all likelihood, we are going to see Chris Weidman compete under the Bellator banner here at some point.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that for sure. The way of Tyron Woodley.
Yep. All right. Let's rifle through these three title fights real quick. Valentina Shevchenko defeats Jessica Andrade. Wasn't even competitive. Here's the thing. We didn't think it was going to be competitive. We were just trying to figure out how to get value out of her. I said by decision, Valentina Shevchenko came out and, fueled by the fury of 1,000 suns and 15,000 screaming fans, decided to make a statement and put on probably one of the most lopsided title fight performances I've ever seen outside of Kamaru Usman beating Tyron Woodley the way that he did. Valentina Shevchenko dominated Jessica Andrade from pillar to post in a highly uncompetitive fight and then ultimately finished her, what was that, in the second round. Any way she wanted it, man, she was able to get it done. Valentina is a monster. And it's so funny to me that if there was no Amanda Nunes, we call Valentina Shevchenko the GOAT as far as women are concerned. The only reason why we don't is, Amanda Nunes. Outside of that, Valentina's the GOAT, man. It's not even it's Nunes, Shevchenko in a distant third place.
Well, and we've said it a couple of times, when you become that dominant and they're clearing out the division, sometimes you actually just start mailing it in. You literally just say, "Hey, how can I win this fight but play it safe where I can elongate my career and just kind of hold position?" But she was very transparent in her post-fight speech that was, "Hey, the moment I walked out, I heard the crowd, my endorphins, my adrenaline went through the fucking roof, and I was out for just cold blood."
Yeah.
So I think, she played a little bit more urgent than, typical Shevchenko would, But the dominance was obviously the most lateral thing we've seen through her entire career.
It was unprecedented. It wasn't even competitive. All right. Rose Namajunas defeats Zhang Weili. Snap kick, toe tap, the toe tap of doom, the Lithuanian toe tap. Right on the side of the face, man, folded her up like a chair. I mean, bro, you talk about the theater of the unpredictable. I did not see that coming. I had Weili. I know a lot of people were on Rose, but most of that's because Rose was, is a fan favorite. And you and I had exchanged text messages. And whenever Rose transformed into Red Pill Rose, we thought, Rose by murder. But most of that was most of that was just being funny. But damn it, if she didn't come out and look untouchable. It was a short fight, though, so we didn't get to see too much in it, but one thing that you forget about Rose is she is a Lithuanian Mamba. She is so silky and so smooth and so freaking fast. She's on you before you realize it. I mean, I always forget how fast and how rangy Rose Namajunas is. I mean, she only fights once a year, so it's very hard to remember how good she is whenever you see her. But, dude, I mean, she came out and looked. She had the speed advantage, and I was like, oh, shit. All right, Whaley's going to have to just weather the storm, get us to rounds 3, 4, and 5, which is where I wanted it, and we'll get out of there. And then as soon as I thought it, she toe-tapped her. She put her little piggy went to market right on the side of her face, and that was it, bro. Weili was out. It was over with.
Yeah, and I was shocked because I was on Weili for a multitude of reasons. One, that I didn't state on her last show, but Weili, it was the first time she had a true camp and associated to her team in a central location. The fight with Joanna, she bounced around 3 different countries. She was on 3 different meal plans. She was on 3 different time zones. She was a fucking mess when she went into the Joanna fight and really didn't come to herself until that was later 4 and 5 rounds. Right. Having a full camp, being on the right time zone, having the correct meals, I thought this is going to be a killer, someone who's going to be half a step ahead. Clearly, I was wrong there. Rose looks amazing. And another thing that I was clearly wrong on is I said this from the beginning. I never understand why Rose is America's sweetheart. Now I know. If you watched the Pat Barry speech right after that, where she's like pumping her in the chest and says, well, you've been saying this for years. You're the best in the fucking world. You say it right now. And she goes, I'm the best. And you say it again. I'm the best. I'm like, fuck, Rose, you are the best, man. You are the best.
I think Pat Barry's creepy, but yeah, for sure. I thought that was great, man. I thought that was great. Absolutely. I enjoy Rose a lot. Like I said, it was never a knock on her by picking Weili. I just thought that Weili had her number, and clearly that was wrong. One thing I do want to say, though, is I don't think that they should rematch right away. Everybody's so quick with the immediate rematches. I do not believe that you should have to beat the champ twice in a row to become the champ. I hate whenever somebody wins a title and they immediately run it back. There's no robbery. There was no split decision. There wasn't up in the air. That was a decisive, clean victory. Let Weili go fight somebody else. Carla's fighting the other.
After she beats the shit out of her, she's going to fight Carla Esparza.
Okay, and that's fine. And then you can have Weili fight the Chinese girl that Carla Esparza is about to beat, and let the winner of them then fight the winner of the Carla and Rose rematch. I'm okay with that. I just hate immediate rematches. You shouldn't have to beat the champ twice in order to become the champ.
Right.
There's only been a handful of people, less than a handful of people that I believe as a champ should ever be warranted immediate rematches in the event that they lose. One of which was Jose Aldo, but that never happened. and that's really kind of it, man. The list sort of starts and stops there. It's really Jose Aldo. And I can't think of a hard argument for anybody else.
Don't you slight Connor on the day he makes $600 million giving over priority share to Proximo for his whiskey brand. Do you do that on the day where he becomes money king, bruh?
I ain't worried about him. And it was his whole investment group, not just him. He didn't put $600 million in. His whole investment group did. Ah,
okay.
So Connor probably, I mean, don't get me wrong, he probably put $20 million in the bank from that, but come on. Anyway. All right, bro. And then finally, the main event. Kamaru Usman puts the stamp of all stamps and sleeps Jorge Masvidal. Just melted him in a highlight reel knockout. I know there was people that said, inside the distance was the play there. Maybe it was. Usman by decision has been a pretty consistent statistical play as far as betting is concerned. However, he does have finishes in his last three fights. So maybe Usman by, you know, Usman fights inside the distance is something we need to start paying attention to. But considering all of that, I'm considering all of that. You have a Kamaru Usman that has not been finished since his second pro fight and a Jorge Masvidal that has not been finished since 2009 due to inverted triangle, the Tony Yamada. I was not sitting here thinking it was the prudent bet to take that inside the distance. There were some people that were on it. Hats off to you. There were some people that messaged us that said, you know, whatever. I saw Bleacher Report. Some other people were putting videos up of people that were cashing slips on that stuff. If you did that and you legitimately thought that fight was going to come to a conclusion like that, I tip my hat to you. You had an intuition that I did not have, because statistically speaking, that was probably amongst the least likely outcomes, was Kamaru Usman sleeping Jorge Masvidal, especially with a punch and a one punch knockout at that. Statistically, that was very improbable, but again, it's fucking high stakes punch face, baby. Anything can happen.
Well, it's high stakes punch face, but when you have a coach, and I think this is what needs to be almost the bigger narrative that came out of that fight, is the back-to-back with Trevor Whitman. Yeah. Trevor Whitman has changed the game as it relates to striking in a few fighters, and his camp is unbelievable. I mean, right now, I mean, you have Justin Gaethje, obviously, you know, looming in the background, but with what he did with Rose, what he did with Usman, what he did with that jab, I know that's the most repetitive statement on the planet, but he has changed the striking game for that camp and for what is the framework of the UFC. That guy is a force to be reckoned with. There's not many coaches out there that I think are going to battle him for Coach of the Year. Maybe James Krause? Maybe Glory MMA?
Nah, bro. Everybody's all on Khabib's nuts and bolts for Coach of the Year.
Okay.
That's hearts and minds of the people, bro. That's what they want.
I don't know. I just think he's done so much in such little time, and to kind of track back and back-to-back fights like that takes a skill within itself. Kamaru Usman is a great move ever since he decided to bail from Gilbert Burns and say, "Hey, I'm going to go take a chance over here at Team Elevation." We've said this for a year, dude. We believe Team Elevation is the most, you know, solid camp, or one of the most solid camps domestically. Dude, that's a camp, bro.
Yeah. Colorado as a whole. I think we're just going to put it the state, because you got Factory X there as well. So just throw them up there. Get Anthony Smith. Where'd he move? Factory X.
Yeah.
And look at the results. All right. Speaking of Colorado and all things Western and delicious and beautiful and mountaintoppy, Stay Classy Meats, bro. I had me some. You brought up irony because I was eating hot dogs on fight night. Here's the thing: the hot dogs I ate from Stay Classy Meat were actually 100% Wagyu beef hot dogs. Okay. Those were not pork hot dogs. And the pig goes back tomorrow, so I will be pig free after tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, man, having a pig is the weirdest thing. It's so weird because it's smart like a dog, but it's not a dog. Like, your mind goes, I don't understand this animal. Like, I understand it's a pig, but I just don't get why it acts and behaves like a dog.
I don't understand South Carolina at all.
It's the craziest thing. It's so strange, man.
It's the craziest state.
Those of you that have never owned a domestic pig or been around a domestic pig, it is a learning experience for sure. It's crate trained. It is. I literally let it out with the dogs, and it goes out with the dogs and, you know, does its business in the yard and
does my kids' homework.
Like, does my kids' homework. It's crazy. And then when it lays near the fireplace, the whole house smells good. It's so strange, man. It's so strange.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Go to Stay Classy
Meats. Put the Aunt Jemima over that baby.
That's it. StayClassyMeats.com. Use promo code FISH. You can save 10% on the entire thing.
Only thing I did not like about UFC 261.
Okay.
Scanned the crowd numerous times, obviously, to show the amount of people that were in that stadium. Did not see that many Allegiance clothing, which blows my mind.
Well, here's the thing, right? Is that we need to get bigger. The podcast needs to grow. And if people gave us more iTunes reviews, preferably of the 5-star category, the podcast would grow. More people would know about Allegiance clothing, and then they could use our promo code PUNCH, which will save them 15% on the entire order.
It'd be so easy.
If you would just leave us a review on iTunes, more people would know about Allegiance clothing if you go to allegianceclothing.com.
Allegianceclothing.com, guys. Type in that code PUNCH, and you are going to get 15% off site-wide. I want to see the next stadium full of Allegiance clothing waving that flag.
Well, you know what's? By the time there's another pay-per-view, they might be able to be wearing the wave the flag T-shirt.
Or did I say too much?
You said too much. But did I say too much? I love that you said a saying.
What?
No, you just said wave the flag. We have select sayings. There's a company out there right now.
Okay.
Called Gambler's Mentality. Everyone that listens to this episode, you're here for one reason only. Maybe you wanted to hear the past 30 minutes of Dale and I breaking down what was 261, but this we know show. You weren't here for that. No. You guys are here because you want to hear the breakdowns. You want to hear the lines. You want to put together the most stellar slip, but it's not just what's in your bank account, guys. It's about what you're wearing. Guys, go to gamblersmentality.com. If you want witty sayings, great material, great fit, badass logos, Gambler's Mentality is a cool clothing company. Guys, check them out. And if you want to take advantage of any of the clothing they have listed, just type in the code PUNCHLIST20 and you're going to get 20% off. Gamblersmentality.com. It's really awesome. I'm going to Vegas, Dale. I don't know if you knew this on Friday.
Yeah, I did know that you're going to Vegas, which is great because you're going to be leaving me here all high and dry by myself. But yes, go to Vegas and have fun.
Well, I'm going to do that. But I'm also going to do like what our friends at Lunch Money Bets do. I'm actually going to like get a physical slip, dude.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
For all these bets that we're going to tell you about right now, I'm getting physical slips. I'm going to hold them up and wave them in Dale's face like, fuck, dude.
Yeah. You should meet up with the dudes from Lunch Money Bets while you're out there.
I should, except for they're probably like, oh, look at this kook going to the strip. And yeah, dude, I'm living my life on the strip for 24 hours.
I'm sure Ryan and D-Lo would be happy to show you around, man.
They're going
to
come on the Ferris wheel with me?
I bet you they would.
All right, I'm going to ask.
I bet you guys could eat popcorn on the Ferris wheel together.
That'd be cool. I'm going to get a pinwheel hat and live my life.
Make out? Wait, what?
What?
What? Wait, what? All right, man, let's break this card down. We're a half hour into this bad boy, so let's get after it. First fight on the main card, one that's near and dear to your heart, man. Pauliana Botello taking on Luana Carolina. Botello at 8-3, Carolina at 6-2. I really like this fight, man. Botello minus 245, Luana Carolina at plus 205. Over and arounds here is at 2.5. I'm going to be honest with you. Women's underdogs, baby. Plus 200 on a fight that I think is really close to a 50-50 here, baby. Come on, man. Carolina, South Carolina. I feel a certain type of way. What you think?
I know. That line's ridiculous for a women's fight. Pauliana is a girl that likes to fight from distance. She's got good takedown defense in the, plus 80%. The problem is when she's gets into like a close affair, especially let's talk about Luana for a second. She's a Muay Thai fighter. She likes to be in that clinch work. She likes to get in close and make it a little bit dirty. Luana, the problem with her is she's going to take like 15 shots to close the distance. She's not very defensively sound. So she will bull rush you a little bit, but if she's able to get herself in close, utilize that Muay Thai style, the knees up the middle, I think she can make this fight really dirty. I'm a little bit worried about Botella as it gets to the ground. I think the ground and pound is going to fare Luana, who's going to come in here, I think, a little bit heavier. The only thing I'm a little bit worried about is Luana going to be a little bit gun shy because of that Ariana Lipsky freaking knee bar, wanting to stay away from all submissions. That was the dirtiest knee bar of all times. If you ever get knee barred like that, you're probably like, dude, I don't want to do anything on the ground, but that's where she needs to take this. I'm going to go with the dog here. That is Luana Carolina. I'm going to take her at plus 205. I think she gets this thing done. And why not on a coin flip that is a women's MMA fight?
You think she's getting it done inside the distance, or you think she's just getting it done as in getting the victory?
I think she's going to get it done. I think she's going to control the octagon. I think she's going to lay up against the cage. And if she can get it down on the ground, I don't think Botella is going to get back up. She has great takedown defense, but I don't think enough to get back up and elongate the fight.
Botella's such a big chick, though, man. She's really sturdy.
Luana's pretty big too, though. So,
yeah. All right, I'm going to take plus money on dog. I'm telling you, I'm betting every women's underdog from here on out. I'm telling you. Shout out to t-shirt winner KOF and Ray. He told us something. He sent us a little message that I didn't realize. He tracks all of our bets. So
that's scary.
So whenever we say stuff, like, he puts it all down now. Last year, we did a good job of policing ourselves, but this year, with all the stuff we say, my man is keeping track of everything. So, right? Yikes! Right. That I probably should have told you that after the show, so that way it didn't influence everything.
Which also bets here.
Yeah, really. All right, man. Merab Dvalishvili taking on Cody Stamann. Merab at 12-4, Stamann at 19-3. Oh boy. Here's the thing. You can write this down. Here's the play here. That's gonna be Merab. Merab. At a -250 and Cody Stamann at a +195. Over under rounds is at 2.5. The over 2.5 coming in at a -320 with the under 2.5 at a +260. I like Merab and I like him by decision here against Cody Stamann. What are you thinking here?
Well, I think this is a wrestler's wet dream here. The problem is you could think that Cody Stamann could hold his own, but we know that Merab, there's a reason he's called the machine. His cardio is on a freaking another level. I mean, I'm telling you, that guy is one of those guys you wake up hungover 5 a.m. and you see this guy running wind sprints. And you're like, what an asshole. But that's who he is. He is a guy that is going to just be in your face all day long, not even be taking deep breaths. What makes me even more nervous about this fight, though, Dale, Cody's dropping from 145 to 135. The dude's already a freakishly in shape guy. So, like, God, that's going to be such a tough cut. And a weight cut like that for Cody is going to wear on him from a cardio perspective. I don't think that their wrestling's on the same level. I would think the best person to go up against a Merab is someone who's going to have better striking. Merab has atrocious striking. He only utilizes his striking to set up his wrestling. He'll throw it all, you know, aggro-like and then get where he needs to be. But now, Merab's going to win this thing. I like the decision play on it, but I mean, -255, I'd take him now because it's going to get deeper.
Well, Cody's fought at bantamweight before. I think just these last couple fights have been elevated. Did he fight Jimmy Rivera at featherweight too? I thought that was at 135.
I thought it was at 145.
I know he fought
the first time he's been dropping down on 135. I didn't know he was at bantamweight.
He was ranked at bantamweight, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. You're making me doubt the things that I know in my heart to be true. In my heart, I know to be true that Cody Stamann was a ranked bantamweight and then moved up to featherweight because he took a fight on short notice and then took another one because he performed so well after his brother passed, and then he's back down to bantamweight again. I know that to be true in my heart.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, people will fact check us and then tell us we shouldn't have a podcast because I said one thing incorrectly. So,
for sure.
I can't believe these guys talking to have a show because they talk about this stuff and this idiot said one thing wrong. All right. Sean Strickland taking on Christoph Jocko. Sean Strickland at 22-3. Christoph Jocko at 22-4. Oh man, Jocko at a +210, Sean Strickland at a -250. Over and rounds is at 2.5 here. Trey, I hate this line. I like Sean Strickland in this fight, but I freaking hate this line. I'm confident in Sean Strickland, but am I -250 juice confident on Sean Strickland? Absolutely not. Christoph Jocko is, you know, for the longest time has sort of bounced around between this idea of prospect, one to watch, maybe future title contender kind of deal, but has always sort of, I don't want to say fallen short because he's on a 3-fight win streak as it is right now. But it's one of those things where like he just doesn't seem to ever put in the performances necessary to get him to the point where they're going to book him for like a big fight next, right? Like when your biggest fight to date is, I don't know, take your pick here. This is half dozen, whatever, six. I mean, Eric Anders, Brad Tavares, and Uriah Hall. Like, those are your biggest named opponents. For as long as Christoph Jocko has been in the UFC, I feel like he should have worked himself into higher level competition at this point. And he's getting fed a killer here in Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland has looked nothing short of sensational since coming back from his long layoff following that motorcycle accident. Sean Strickland, I honestly kind of like Sean Strickland inside the distance here, to be honest with you. The dude's a killer. He's so slick. He's so smooth. If you hear him talk, he sounds a little bit on the slow side. But, dude, he is super smart inside the cage and an absolute animal, man. He is not afraid to throw down. He can get it done wherever he wants. He's good on the ground. He's good with the hands. He is a beast and a force to be reckoned with. I really like Sean Strickland. Christoph Jocko's got a stiff test ahead of him here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, his resume is not built to where maybe you like it because of his inactivity. He's been riddled with injuries. You know, both these guys, you know, have had long layoffs. Obviously, you said Strickland, his motorcycle accident, but he's come back and he's made statements. He's got that crisp boxing. He's got good takedown defense. I mean, when he beats people up, he's getting freaking motivated. When he fought Jack Marshman, dude, he was talking shit mid-fight. Like, he's in your face. Brennan Allen, dude, we're high on Brennan Allen. He was able to negate the wrestling defense and actually take that apart as well. Sean Strickland has got a very well-rounded game, but his boxing is where he really thrives. I'm liking the under 2.5 here. I'm going with you with Sean to make this a little juicy. I mean, definitely inside the distance. That line's heavy, but I think it is justified.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the three losses that Strickland has on his record. Zaleski Dos Santos, Kamaru Usman, and Santiago Ponzinibbio. Mm. I mean, he's only lost to upper-level competition. Right. I don't think Jock goes up there with the caliber of opponent that usually beats Sean Strickland. So I'm running with Strickland here, man. And I like him
especially inside Jocko, the distance. Jocko's one of those dudes. He's a quintessential fighter that you always talk about. He's a guy that has his head up high, his hands low. Like, yeah. What is a boxer going to do with that?
Yeah, he's going to beat him up.
Another wet dream right there, bro.
There's a lot of wet dreams here, bro. What do you got going on right now? You're talking a whole lot about wet dreams. You need to change
a lot of them.
You need to change the sheets? What do we got going on here?
No, just putting plastic wrap down, dude. All
right. Under 2.5 at a +140.
All right.
I like that plus money. All right, man. Co-main event of the evening, but the people's main event. Can I do the sound? The people? What?
We're on the same side though. It's on people's main event.
You're not doing this to me. We've already talked about this. You are not doing this to me.
All right.
I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to, dude. I won't.
I'm not taking who I joked about this morning.
That's you weren't joking when you said that. You are not allowed to do this.
No, I know what you're trying to do, Dale.
I'm going to hit the people's main event because you're going to go on the side you're supposed to be on.
No.
You have to. No. You.
I know why you're doing this. No.
It's the people's main event. It's the people's main event. Cub Swanson versus Giga Chikadze.
Oh.
Cub Swanson +120. Giga at a -150. Over under on rounds is at 2.5.
Okay, my apologies. I thought you were talking Ion Cutelaba, Dustin Jacoby.
Oh, I skipped that one. Oh, I'm an idiot. I completely skipped that. Yeah, so
don't look at me like you're right. Moron.
My bad, dude. My bad.
Jesus.
Ion Cutelaba -130.
+130. You're trying to get me to take Justin Jacoby. Okay, for those that are longtime listeners, the people's main event, we are 1-1. I secured my one last fight, taking El Jefe over Mongolian Murder. We're 1-1. Now it's getting serious, dude. And this is not the people's main event.
This is not the people's main event. No, sorry, my bad. I got so excited because Cub Swanson's fighting. I lost track of the bout order. All right.
Don't worry, dude.
My mistake.
Get it on your soapbox in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. My mistake. All right. Ewan the Hulk Cutelaba -130. Dustin Jacoby. +110. Over under and rounds is at 1.5. Spoiler alert here, Trey. I'm going Dustin Jacoby.
You're going against a Caucus Mountain Warrior, like the pinnacle of Caucus Mountain Warriors.
The reason why we invented the phrase Caucus Mountain Warrior is for Merab and Ewan Cutelaba, but I might fade Ewan Cutelaba here. Yeah. I think he has 6 minutes to get it done, and if he doesn't, Dustin Jacoby's out of there, or Dustin Jacoby's going to get him out of there. I feel like it goes against my values as a person, not so much as a better, but as a person to go against a guy like Ewan Cutelaba. But what should I do here? I'm torn. Make my pick for me, please.
I will for sure. Okay. You want to talk about strength of schedule? Ewan Cutelaba has fought the who's who. Dustin Jacoby has got a freaking identity issue, dude. This is a guy that came into MMA, fought like one or two times, then bailed to kickboxing. Now he's back in MMA. He has wins over freaking Justin Ledet.
You love Justin Ledet, though.
I honestly feel like producer Jake could beat up Justin Ledet.
I love producer Jake, but Justin Ledet would fuck him up.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is this. This fight is kind of ridiculous to talk about. I am taking Ion Cutelaba, but okay. This fight is not going to happen.
Okay.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Well, dude, don't put that on me. Don't put that out there because
I said this with the weight challenge thing. I'm going to say it right now because of COVID. Right. Ion Cutelaba is going to get COVID before this fight. My man gets more COVID than a guy going to that wet market in fucking Wuhan and eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Ion Cutelaba is eating bats every single night. This fight is not happening. He's had COVID. You tell me, oh, dude, you're going to get COVID once? Bullshit, dude. This guy's had COVID like 6 times.
Don't put that on me. Don't put that on. Listen, I don't know how many times he's had COVID, but they would have you believe that you can only get COVID one time. So if you can only get COVID one time, there's no way he could have had it twice. I don't know, man. It's freaking fake science. They just make this shit up as they go. They have no idea what it is. They're just making it up. The science isn't real. They just make it up, man. So no, I don't believe that he's going to, don't say that he's going to get freaking COVID again, because I don't know. I've never caught the flu twice in 1 year. Right. And that's all this is anyway. I don't know. It's not whatever, man. If he's a bat licker,
get the flu shot, dude.
Yeah. I don't get the flu shot ever. I am the most unvaccinated man on earth. All right.
Wait, so who are you taking?
I'm going to take Ewan. I'm going to take him. That's a full disclosure. That's a heart pick, not a smart pick. Ewan Cutelaba is a heart pick, not a smart pick. All right.
I think it's a smart pick. He's going to have better fight IQ. He's going to wrestle Dustin Jacoby.
He's not going to wrestle him at all. He's literally going to swing and try to separate his head from his shoulders.
No, he's able to get singles and doubles and he's do not the freaking Hulk smash, dude. That's what he's going to do.
He's not going to wrestle him at all.
Watch him.
We can't do a people's main event on fight technique. It has to be on an actual fight. All right.
Okay, well, that's this next one.
All right. People's main event. Here it is. Let's go. Let's get it. Cub Swanson, +120, taking on your boy Giga Chikadze at -150. Over under rounds is at 2.5. There it is. People's main event. It's going down right now. Because I'm so much better at this than you are, I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I'm just going to say one word here.
Go ahead.
Two words, actually. Sorry, I'm retarded.
Dude, with the hard R's, bro. Oh.
Giga trains at Kings MMA. My two words, Benny Dariush.
Okay. All right. What is that?
That camp is so solid. Mm-hmm. This Georgian freaking kickboxer, mm-hmm. 4 victories, 9 months. There are a couple people. Sure, Cub Swanson came back after his little ACL issue and like, oh, put on a clinic against Daniel Pineda and just like knocked him to the ether. Giga fought fucking 4 times in 9 months and made it look easy. You even said it's the last time we're ever going to see Giga at plus money in 2020 early. He mm-hmm. is now at a -150. There's a reason. This guy is a smart fighter. He's got deadly head kicks. He's not good at wrestling, but what? Cub Swanson's not going to wrestle you. Cub Swanson's going to want to stand and bang. And I think someone that's technically sound, who's younger, who's hungrier, who's on the up and up, who needs a name like Cub Swanson, this is a big issue for Cub Swanson. If Cub can get through this at 37 years old, then by all means, I'm a huge Cub Swanson fan. I think he has sick tattoos. I love those palm trees coming up his obliques. But I just don't think that this is going to happen for him, man. I think this line's going to get a little bit wider as people start to get a little bit more secure and a little bit safer with their money. I'm going Giga here. I'm taking him by decision because Cub, I think, is going to have the wherewithal and the strength to get through to the at least 3 rounds. Giga decision. Boom.
I hate this for you. I hate this for you because I will single-handedly, myself and Team Beard are single-handedly going to will Cub Swanson into victory on Saturday night. All things considered, given past precedents of things that I've said on the show, you should be hammering Giga Chikadze at -150 because it is a beautiful price on a beautifully talented man. However, It is not his fault that he's going up against one of the OGs of the sport that still has plenty of miles left on the tires that is Cub Swanson. I'm sorry, but a win over Jamie Simmons, who looks like the homeless guy underneath the bridge on my way to work, a win over Irwin Rivera, a win over Jamal Emmers, a win over who was the other cat that he beat? Who was his other win in freaking 2020? I can't even remember. Who was it? Omar Morales. Omar Morales' win is the only win of his that I will give any sort of credence to, because I believe Omar Morales is a future stud. He's already a stud now, but he'll continue to grow to be an even bigger stud as long as he gets it together. He's one of our bigger bets a few weeks ago. Outside of the Omar Morales win, Jamie Simmons fights on this card too, does he not? Is he not in the prelims? I believe that he is.
No, he's not.
Are you sure the Afro Samurai is not fighting this week? Is it next week that he's fighting?
Not this week.
Okay. All right. So Jamie Simmons, Irwin Rivera, and Jamal Emmers. I know that he has more wins over more people, but those are, if you're saying four wins in 2020, he didn't do it against elite level competition. He didn't do it against guys like Cub Swanson, or even the people that Cub Swanson has beaten and or lost to, any of those people. If you take any of the last five opponents of Cub Swanson and put them up against Giga, Giga's the underdog.
Against Cron Gracie, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Cron Gracie, yeah, of course Cron Gracie would be favorite against Giga.
In a grappling match, maybe.
Are you kidding me?
He is Dylan Danis in UFC form. That's all he is.
Did you watch the fight with Cub? Cron's got hands.
He doesn't have hands, dude. Give me a break.
He
straight up walked in and was like, dude, do I have to take off my gi?
Dude, there's no way you watch that fight. There's no way you watch that. And Cron's got hands. You're joking me. Cron's got hands.
No, Cub just didn't look good.
You're going to make my head explode.
Here we go.
You're going to make my head explode. There is no way that you believe that in your heart. You can't.
I believe it.
No, you don't. You're just trying to get me fired up. It's not going to work. Listen, Cub Swanson is going to beat Giga, and he's going to do it by sheer will and determination in the heart of a lion. He's got a bunch of babies at home. He's got Kenda Perez. Dude, he's got his life outside the cage is awesome. So when he gets to come into the cage, he gets to let all that out. You, as a suburban man with a wife and kids, how angry are you on a day-to-day basis?
I'm super angry, dude.
That's what I'm saying. You're one traffic cutoff away from fucking losing it at all point in time, right? It's important to you that you get to go to jiu-jitsu and strangle people, is it not?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so imagine you're Cub Swanson, and you're at home, and you've got three babies under the age of five, and you've got a wife, right? And maybe Kenda Perez is the nicest, most low maintenance woman on the planet Earth. Maybe she's not, though. Maybe she's like a normal lady, right? And even though she means well and she loves on you, and you're the king of the castle, you're still angry. You still want to smash shit, right? And you never get a chance. You know what? TJ Dillashaw pulled out of his fight today with
He didn't pull out, dude. He didn't pull out. He had a massive cut above his eyebrow.
Right. So he had to not take the fight, so that's pulling out of the fight.
Oh, you made it sound like he actually. Trust me, I think he's the biggest bitch of all time.
Right. Okay, but his whole eyebrow was laid open. You know who did that? You know who did that?
I don't.
My boy Cubby.
Really?
Who wouldn't? Who, dude? Why wouldn't Cub be the one to do it?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So it had to be Cub. I'm giving it to Cub. I don't know who did it. I'm speculating that it was Cub.
All right. So how heavy are you going? How many units are you going on this bad boy?
First of all, we don't talk about units here because we don't unit shame people, but you want me to tell you how much? I don't know how many units I'm going to put on them. It's going to be my biggest play of the night. It's going to be my biggest play of the night. I don't know what it's going to be yet. Because here's the thing is I got Cub when the fight was first announced and he was plus 180. And now he's at plus 120, so I don't necessarily know how big I'm going to go on the double down.
Okay. Is he going to be a parlay piece? That's all I want to know.
He's not going to be a parlay piece.
There's confidence. Okay.
You know what?
Oh, shit.
I hope all your dreams come true. I hope all your dreams come true. All right, main event of the evening. Dom Reyes. Dom the athlete Reyes, right? Did you know that Dom Reyes is an athlete?
No. Never. Yeah,
Dom Reyes plus 110 taking on Jiří Procházka at a minus 100. Overrunner rounds at 1.5 here.
Why?
I'm throwing a curveball for you here, at you here. I'm taking Dom Reyes.
Because he's so athletic?
He's so athletic.
Did you know, Dale, that he played football?
I do know that he played football. I've heard that somewhere. I've heard that Dom Reyes played football somewhere. I also heard that he was in a very competitive fight with John Jones that some people thought that he won. however, he has not looked like the same Dom Reyes since then, and then has been off since getting knocked out by the Polish power himself. That is Jan Blachowicz. However, he is bouncing back, and he's taken on Jiří Procházka here. I rewatched both of these men's last fight, right? And while Dom Reyes lost his and Jiří won his, I'm going to go ahead and say this. When Jiří fought Volkan Ozdemir, Ozdemir tagged him a bunch. And there were two instances in the first round where Ozdemir hit him and Jiří had his bell rung. I also think that he had a little bit of adrenaline dump, octagon jitters, the whole nine. But he can't do that hands low, weird head movement, loopy, thrusty shit against Dom Reyes. Dom Reyes is fundamentally sound. He's going to piece him up, bro.
Oh, my God.
The Devastator's coming back.
Oh, my God, dude.
The Devastator's coming back. Dude, I'm just saying, if you can get a guy like Dom Reyes at plus money, you should play Dom Reyes at plus money. You talk about finding value. This is a value play. You want to talk about value, right? That's what we want to talk about sometimes, is betting value. This is a good value play. If you can get Dom Reyes at plus money against a guy that only has one fight in the UFC, he's only got one fight, man. He's only fought Volkan Ozdemir, flat-footed, hands out to his side like a Mortal Kombat character, Volkan Ozdemir, and pieced him up, even though Volkan Ozdemir had success and had him rocked. And you can get Dom Reyes at plus money. It's smart. It's smart to try to play. A dog that'll fight for your money is Dom Reyes. He's an athlete, too. Don't forget he's athletic.
It's barely a dog. It's almost a pick'em. I bet you it actually gets closer to a pick'em.
Perfect. Get it now. Get it to listen to me now. Let me influence your ear holes and play him now.
Prior to his promotional debut against Volkan Ozdemir, the guy had 9 stoppage wins. Mm-hmm. And the reason he got pieced up by Volkan is because he has this unorthodox style, dude. He leaves himself wide open, but he's very durable. And when he lands, he can land. The one thing about Dom Reyes that I think everyone is enamored by is the John Jones fight, that he won that fight. But after that, fought the Polish power, got laid out. And I think the blueprint has been laid out. Who is Dom Reyes? He is the most predictable fighter on the planet. Yes, he's athletic. But he doesn't show feints. He doesn't do anything unorthodox. He's very like, hey, I just walked into an MMA gym. I'm very athletic and I know how to throw a punch. But he doesn't have that unique technique that kind of like fades one way and lands another. I'm liking Jiří here because I don't think Dom Reyes is going to be able to put him out. I think when you get looks like a Volkan Ozdemir on a big stage in your promotional debut and you win, it speaks volumes. Volkan is a vet. He's a guy that is extremely well-rounded. Dom Reyes had his moment in the sun that was John Jones, and he peaked. Unfortunately, he thought that his win on that was bigger than anything else and that his skill set was good enough. The thing is, he still needs to evolve, and I don't think he's looked at himself and said, you know what, I need to look at other facets of who I am as a mixed martial artist and evolve those areas. Instead, he's like, I'm good, I'm on cruise control, and now we're seeing him decline. I think Yuri's going to put him out. I'm going freaking inside the distance. I don't like 1.5 because I know Dom's not going to put him out in 1.5. Yuri's extremely durable. I don't think Yuri's going to get him down because I think Dom is going to be athletic enough to use his footwork and move around the cage. I like inside the distance. I like Jiří. If you want to find value and not go minus the minus side on 100 for Jiří, inside the distance, Jiří. There you go.
Yeah, I'm going opposite of that. I like I said before, respectfully, I disagree with just about everything you said.
What's that? That's that thing in what's that movie? And he's like, respectably, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I said respectable.
Right. With all due respect. Yeah. I disagree with just about all of that. I think that Dom Reyes believed in his heart that he beat John Jones. And a lot of people thought that as well. So the fight with Jan was supposed to be retribution for that. And the whole time, Reyes was just sort of acting as if he was about to be crowned king without actually having to win the battle to become the king, right? Kingdoms are not won without bloodshed. And it was like Reyes had never learned that lesson before. You cannot become the king if you're not willing to shed some blood. Jan Blachowicz understood that and understands that very well. Not only do you have to take a kingdom with bloodshed, but it takes bloodshed to keep it as well, which we saw in the Israel Adesanya fight. You have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to get dirty and get in the grime and the grit to make things happen. And Dom Reyes, instead of like his normal corner, came out with his brother and his dad and his friends, like essentially had like his mom walk him to the octagon, like Mike Perry and his girl, because he just wanted this moment on Fight Island. Like everybody was, he wanted all of his family to be with him whenever he won the belt. And that was not the case, right? Jan Blachowicz gave zero shits about that and separated his nose off of his face and beat him to death in front, or damn near beat him to death in front of everybody. Reyes, that's touching a hot stove. You only have to learn that lesson one time. You cannot go into this fight thinking that you've got this beat. He is very much aware that he's an underdog here. He's very much aware that if he is ever going to capture the momentum and get the opportunity to fight Jan Blachowicz again, he has to do it by knocking off a top five guy, which he has here in Jiří Procházka. He's got to get it done. The light heavyweight division is still wide open. Whenever your first title defense as the light heavyweight champ is the middleweight champ, the light heavyweight division is yours for the taking still. It takes one emphatic win, and you can literally sail that ship right back to the same port and say, I want Blachowicz again. If he goes out there and kicks the beard off of Jiří Procházka and says, I want Jan back, and licks the blood off of his gloves like BJ Penn, how do you not make that fight? Who else are you going to have Jan fight at 205? Who else?
That's fair.
I mean, so
shallow division though.
It is a shallow division, but you have to capitalize that. If you're going to be a shark in a pond, you got to eat all the other fish. Dom Reyes needs to do this. So I like him at plus money. I like him with the motivation behind him. I like him back in the United States. I'm taking Dom Reyes at plus money here.
That's fair.
Yeah, you're damn right it's fair.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make up all my money on the prelims. That's where I always cut my teeth, bro.
You cut your teeth on the prelims? All right, we have to get through them quickly, though, because we're fucking doing this whole show took forever. We got to pace these better. One, it's like midnight here, and I start to get loopy. And then two, we just talk a lot. All right. So, oh, chat says Rokic, too. I always forget about Alexander Rokic. Which doesn't bode well for Alexander Rokic. People shouldn't forget who you are. And I have a decent memory. I'm sort of like an encyclopedia. But I'm not a Rain Man, but I'm pretty close.
I want you to drop some straws behind you right now.
Some straw? Toothpicks?
Or is it toothpicks?
Toothpicks. See, you Rain Man, my Rain Man. Come on, bro. It's toothpicks, man. Come on, we got to watch Judge Judy. Or not Judge Judy, People's Court. I say that, then I screwed up immediately. It's People's Court, not Judge Judy. Damn it. Damn it. All right. Are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right. Your boy Luke Sanders taking on Felipe Corrales. Luke Sanders at 13-4, Corrales at 9-2. Do we have odds for this? No odds.
No Perfect. Odds.
That's okay. I want to know statistically, somebody go back in the annals of time because I don't want to do it, but I want to know. I want this information, but I don't want to work for it. Has there ever been a fighter that has had more opening bouts in the UFC than Luke Sanders?
What do you mean
bouts? I'm pretty sure that Luke Sanders has been the opening bout on a card four times. I believe this is the fourth time that Luke Sanders has been the opening bout on a UFC fight card.
It makes sense, dude. He's enticing. And the reason he's enticing is because he's a bat out of hell. He is a guy that will die on his shield. He will throw hands as hard as he can the first round and a half. Then he'll get clipped and he'll die. That's exactly what's going to happen here. I know this is a short notice fight for Felipe Corrales. Felipe Corrales is going to come into this with, I think, the same cardio for having a no camp whatsoever than Luke Sanders. Luke Sanders, guy, like I said, will throw everything he can up against the wall the first round and a half, and then he will die. Felipe Corrales trains out of Team Nogueira. He's got great BJJ. He's got a good chin. He's got a black belt in judo. He's going to close that distance, throw you over his hip, ground and pound you. He's going to have a 2.5 or 2 inch reach advantage. So for him to set up those feints and get that takedown is completely feasible. He's the former freaking jungle fight featherweight champion. Dude, you tell me jungle fight is not legit?
Dude, you were on it's my show. Oh.
Wait, I don't think jungle fights is that legit, dude.
Where did that come from?
What do you mean?
Who just said it's not?
Me. I went close to my mic.
Oh my gosh, bro. I was looking at a different screen. You sounded like a different person. I thought somebody else.
Like better?
No, like a more effeminate. I thought there was like a lady boy in here.
Oh, that no, was... I'm a man.
Okay. All right. That was really strange, man.
All right. Well, Krause is durable. He's legit on the ground. I think that the kitchen sink's going to be thrown the first 2 seconds. Luke Sanders is going to lose, especially being 35 on the back end of his career.
I was trying to see how many times Luke Sanders has been submitted. And I don't know what that number is. I was trying to see bad stats on that, and I can't find anything. So no big deal. He was submitted by Yuri Alcantara via knee bar, Ronnie Yahya via heel hook, and then Nate Maness rear naked choke. So he's lost 3 out of his last 5 fights by submission. Ooh. That would lead towards a Corral. I would look at that and say, I initially, looking at the matchup name value alone, I like to lean towards Sanders here. But given that the guy's lost 3 of his last 5 fights by submission, that would lead me to believe that, Corrales by submission might be a decent play here. Might be a decent little prop play there. Play up. All right. KB Buehler taking on Andreas Michailidis. Michailidis at 12-4. KB Buehler at 8-1. Buehler, last time we saw him, he fought Tom Breeze. Looked like he had never fought anybody before and had one of those comically large chests like you see when people inject that oil underneath their skin. Very, very anatomically funky is KB Buehler. +195 dog here taking Andreas Michailidis at -250 over on rounds at 2.5 or 1.5. I'm sorry. I like Michailidis. This price is a little dicey though. Might be looking at him as a parlay piece though. I feel like it's pretty safe even at a -250.
Man, this is tough. KB Buehler, you know, my Canadian boys. I love to go heavy on the Canadian boys.
Yeah.
Not at all. There's a reason I think they're soft. And it proved to be when Tom Breeze, to your point, was just lighting him up with that jab. It was as if it was freaking overhand right. It was not. Andre Michailidis, though, I don't think he's that great of a fighter either. Oof. I think this is a fight I'm going to stay away from. The Modestus Bukauskas fight that he lost, that was a weird one because he shot in for a single and then kind of was like half on his knees, and then he got hit in the back of the head, and the ref's like, dude, we got to stop this, even though it wasn't really a true stoppage. So yeah. I don't really take too much weight in that loss. I think that both these fighters have a lot of vulnerabilities in their game. I like the under 2.5 because I think either of these can get clipped very easily.
1.5.
Is it 1.5?
It's 1.5. Yeah, I said 2.5, messing it up, and now I implanted that in your brain. It is 1.5, but 1.5 is at plus money. You can get it at +110. So under 1.5, I like.
I like it too. Small cage, Apex, both these guys are going to lay it on early. Yeah, I'm going there. I'm going Michailidis, and I'll go under the 1.5 too.
Perfect. I love it. Sam Hughes taking on Loma Luke Boomy. Luke Boomy at 5-2. Sam Hughes at 5-2. Oh man, Sam Houston +305, Luke Boomy at -380. Overrunner rounds is at 2.5. How we feel about Loma at a -380? I feel probably the most used parlay piece we're going to see on Saturday night, which means I'm not touching her. Women's MMA, coin flip, baby. +305. I'm going after that +305 dog money.
She shouldn't be at -380, dude. She's out of Tiger Muay Thai, which I think is an insane striking camp. But she's a tiny chick, dude. She's a freaking atom weight. They don't have atom weight. This is a strawweight fight. Sam Hughes is going to come in a thick strawweight. Luma's good on the good and standing. She's not that great on the ground. Now, do I think Sam Hughes is going to come in and try and get this to the ground? That's what she needs to do. She's a D1 athlete. She has the ability to do it, but she's not a wrestler. She's extremely raw. She's not well-rounded by any means. She's very foundational. I think if you're going to do anything, sprinkle a little bit on Sam Hughes here. Otherwise, stay away from this. It's a total dog or pass, but I think Sam Hughes here has an opportunity to try and get this thing down because Luma, while she has decent takedown defense, she's such a tiny chick. Get this to the ground, lay in prayer. I'm going Sam Hughes by small, small sprinkle.
Small, small sprinkle, man. Plus 300. Why not? Why not? It's women's MMA, bro.
Exactly.
I see no reason.
Feel bad if I lose that either.
No, not at all. All right, Kai Kamaka taking on TJ Brown. Kamaka at 8-3, TJ Brown at 14-8. Bro, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I know Kamaka's at a minus 160 here. TJ Brown is a plus 130. Over and around is at 2.5. But this is a pick 'em fight. Can we be honest here? This is a pick 'em fight.
Yeah.
Kai Kamaka is wildly fast. TJ Brown has, you know, a well-rounded skill set. But this is a pick 'em fight. Even minus 160, I'm not saying that's like steep juice on Kamaka. But I really think that this is closer to a pick 'em. My betting perspective on this is I'm staying away from this fight because it feels like so much of a coin flip. I'm leaning Kamaka. But realistically, if you want to know if I'm betting on this fight, I'm not. I'm not betting on this fight. But I'm leaning Kamaka. Just I think skill set wise and speed and cardio, I think he should be able to beat TJ Brown, but I'm not willing to put money on it. I don't feel that confident in that assessment to put money on it. So I will not be betting on this fight on Saturday night.
I hate this. I want to bet on it because it's a, you know, fellow Hawaiian here, but Kai Kamaka is getting that minus 160 for one thing and one thing only. And that is his fight against Tony Kelly.
Yeah.
Beat Tony Kelly, who's gritty and freaking strong, gets that lean. But we've seen thereafter, he is a guy that gasses in the clinch exchange. He's a guy, to your point, is extremely aggressive. He's really scrappy. He gets sucked into these firefights, though, and that's where he just kind of gets wild and doesn't stick to a fight IQ. Brown, on the other hand, he's training with Glory MMA. I'm just like we were with Team Elevation. It's hard for me to fade a team that's on such a heater right now. Glory MMA with James Krause is on a heater. He has a good jiu-jitsu game. He doesn't have a good striking game, but the reason his last two losses have occurred is because he got in these firefights. My biggest worry with TJ Brown is he's going to get sucked in by Kai Kamara, who's going to want to close the distance and throw hands, when what he needs to do is wrestle the shit out of this thing, try and get it on the ground, slow the pace, and utilize his jiu-jitsu. I think if he does that, the gas tank of Kai Kamara is going to deplete very quickly. I'm going to take the plus money in TJ Brown here. I'm going to fade another Hawaiian. The Hawaiians have not been doing very well. I think in the close cage, if TJ Brown sticks to what he needs to do, James Krause, you know that guy's going to freaking be screaming this every 5 seconds. Wrestle, 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 wrestle. He's going to get it done.
All right, cool. I think this fight is a damn near pick, man. So I have no dog in that fight. All right. So Gabriel Benitez at 22-8 taking on Jonathan Pierce at 10-4. Oh, man, Gabriel Benitez at a minus 200. Jonathan Pierce at a plus 160. Over under rounds is at 1.5. Does Gabriel Benitez get a knockout here? I feel like Gabriel Benitez by knockout is the play. I feel like Jonathan Pierce is going to be there to be hit, man. And I don't know, dude. I feel like we see a Mowgli W here.
Someone that's just feeding on their own hype is Gabriel Benitez. Everyone at AKA thinks he's the second coming of freaking Jesus, but he hasn't really proved it. Yes, he's an insane kickboxer, but dude, Pierce is legit too, dude. The problem is he hasn't had an ability to show it. His last loss against Joe Lozon, that was the best Joe Lozon we've seen in some time. Lost in freaking 93 seconds to that UFC vet. I think that, and actually what he fought Kai Kamara.
Yeah. Kamaka. Yeah. That was his last fight.
Yeah. So that was second round stoppage. I mean, he knows how to deal with the firefights. He knows how to deal with hard, heavy handed fighters. I'm going to go with Jonathan Pierce here by decision. I just don't think that Gabriel Benitez lives up to the hype of his name or what his teammates are saying.
What is the tattoo on Pierce's chest? That like weird circle with the minus sign in it. Is that like, what is that? Do you know what that symbol is?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, I don't know what it is either.
That's a wild one, though.
Yeah, if somebody in the chat knows, let us know, or in the comments, let us know, because I don't know what that is. It is an interesting tattoo, though. I think Gabriel Benitez gets done. I think he gets done inside the distance here. I like Gabriel Benitez by knockout. He's got a fantastic. I mean, the kicks of Benitez are fantastic. Just to be honest with you, I mean, he's able to target the body in a way that few people are able to execute at a high level. I like Benitez, man. I think Pierce is going to have to make this gritty. He's going to have to push Benitez up against the cage and not allow Gabriel to operate at distance. If he allows Gabriel to operate at distance, I think he's going to sleep.
But he's not going to. And the reason is with the camp that he's in association. He's at fight ready. He's with the Henry Cejudos of the world. That's wrestle heavy. That's close the distance, dude. Yeah. Benitez is not going to be able to work from distance. Why not take the plus money?
You just don't think it, AKA Benitez, isn't going up against high-level wrestlers day in and day out?
But he fails to wrestle in every single one of his fights. And he doesn't perform to the kickboxing level that he is a star-studded. Which frustrates me.
So you're going Pierce at plus 160?
Yes.
I cheer for you because that's good plus money. However, I'm on the opposite side of that.
Fair.
So.
Fair.
All right. Last fight.
What a way to end this. Holy moly.
Yeah. Last fight. Feature prelim. Randy Marcos. At the saltiest record allowed in the UFC. 10-10. Taking on. What?
9-10.
Is she 9-10? No.
Or 10-11. She's sub 500. Yes,
no,
she is.
No.
Yes, she is.
Hold on. I gotta consult my sheet here. Luana Pinedo. All right, we'll hash this out offline. Let's put a bow on this thing. Randy Marcos plus 140. Luana Pinedo at a minus 170. Over and around is at 1.5. Do you dare fade Randy Marcos when her back's against the wall? Do you dare? Will she not just come out and put that red hair in the middle of your chest, push you up against the cages, continually take you down, and Matt return to a victory here? What is Luana going to do here to get Randy Marcos off of her? How does she stop the quiet storm, or the red storm? What is she? The red storm, the quiet storm. I'm so freaking thirsty, man. There's a fruit fly in my damn tea. I'm so upset by it.
You're having tea?
I am. I'm having a little Arnie Palmy.
Ooh, a little vodka in there?
No vodka.
All right. Well, I don't know. I never want to bet Randy Marcos. She's not good, dude. She's 35 years old. Yes, push it up against the cage. Elongate the fight if you can. Luana, though, to Dana White Contender Series fighters have not been doing well in the Apex Center. I don't like it. To your point, Randy Marcos wants to maybe bring it up the cage and get it down to the ground. My one thing that makes me want to lean Luana a little bit is she is decent jiu-jitsu. She's brown belt. She's rattled off, obviously, a bunch of wins. But Randy Marcos, man. I mean, every time, it's just like you said, every time you fade her, when her back's up against the wall, she comes out with a win.
Things get dicey, bro.
Yeah, so why not take Randy Marcos at plus money?
Take the chick at plus money, bro. Why not? Take the chick at plus money. All right, so let's go. Let's recap this real quick. Let's go straight money lines on how you feel, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, Sanders Corrales.
Corrales.
I'll go Corrales as well. Bueller, Michalidis.
Michalidis.
I'm on Michalidis as well. Luke Boonmy and Hughes.
Luke Boonmy.
Yeah, I'd like to see Hughes win, though.
Yeah, me too.
Kamaka versus TJ Brown.
TJ Brown.
I'm going to go Kamaka. Gabriel Benitez, Jonathan Pierce.
Pierce.
I'm going to go Benitez. Marcos and Pinedo.
Marcos.
All right. I will too, just because she continually finds ways to disappoint me. Yeah. All right, Pauliana Botello versus Luana Carolina.
Luana Carolina.
I'm going to go Botello there.
Oh.
Well, here's the thing. So if we're just doing money line, well, I know I said I'd always bet women dogs.
Yeah.
So Carolina. All right. Marab Dovishvili taking on Cody Stamann.
The Machine.
All right, give me Marab as well. Sean Strickland, Christoph Yako.
Sean Strickland.
I'm on Strickland as well. Iwan Kutalaba, Dustin Jacoby.
Caucus Mountain Warrior that is Ion Cutelaba.
That's right, the Hulk, baby. Cub Swanson versus Giga Chikadze.
Man, dude, I want to for you, but I'm gone on the Giga train.
Giga, what? How do you say Giga's last name?
Oh, dude, Chikadze.
Okay, all right.
Our Chikadze's, dude.
I was going to say, if we do a whole, listener. I was gonna say, if we do a whole episode, you don't call him Chikadze's at least once, people are going to be upset. All right, I'm taking Cub, of course. And then Dom Reyes, Yuri Prochazka.
Yuri.
And I'm taking Dom Reyes. All right, guys, that wraps it up. Episode 72 of Punch List in the bag. Can I do something real quick? Can you talk for 30 seconds and give me time to navigate to a website, please?
Absolutely. Guys, if you are not following us on all social channels, I implore you. We're getting up and up, but our listeners in association to our followers on Instagram are not lateral. Let's go. You're listening to this. Easy follow. And the thing is, you're missing out on a lot. Right before fight day, we're releasing the plays we like. It's the value plays that Dale likes, the value plays I like, and it's all available on Punchless MMA. Go to Punchless MMA. You'll find us on Instagram. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, all that other stuff. Don't really participate with that. Mostly just Instagram. Got a lot of big things coming up in the line. Really excited. Again, Punchless MMA on all social channels.
Here's something fun. I didn't know we had a Facebook.
Not really.
I didn't know we had that.
I mean, we share stuff to it. So
right,
it's
but I didn't know that. I didn't know that was I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh yeah, no, we're on it.
Yeah, I didn't know. My mom called me and she was like, "I saw your video on Facebook," and I was like, "I haven't posted on Facebook since like 2011 because the government tracks you." And she was like, "No, Punchless Facebook," and I was like, "We have a Facebook," and she was like, "Yeah, you didn't know you have Facebook? You should pay attention to that." And I was like, "Yeah, I didn't know we had a Facebook."
Yeah, we're also on MySpace. We're on Tinder. We're on everything, dude.
Bro, are we on Bumble?
No, but we're on Hinge.
Are we on Grindr?
Coffee meets bagel.
I don't know any of these. I literally just went through all the ones that I know.
I know them all, dude. I know them
all. All right, I want to give a shout out real quick. A couple different shout outs. So shout out to we have a mega fan outside the Pittsburgh area, Waylon. Shout out to Waylon. But also I want to shout out everybody. We used to highlight way back when, let's recap way back, top cities where we got downloads. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, so we're back using the same analytic setup that we were before. So now we can view by city. So I want to give a shout out to our top cities from last episode. You cool with that?
Yeah, I love this.
All right. San Antonio, Chicago, New York, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, and San Diego.
Wow. A lot of Texas in there.
A lot of Texas, bro. We're big in Texas, I guess.
Yeehaw. All right.
Yeehaw. Let's do countries real quick. Do you want to do countries?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I love this. No, it's cool. I thought it was just everyone in San Diego or in South Carolina.
No.
Somerville in San Diego.
That's it, baby. That's it. No. So we have the United States. Then we've got Great Britain, England, Ireland, or I'm not, what's that say? No, English Isles, whatever English Isles is. Ireland, Scotland, France, and Philippines. So top five. Yeah, check it out. Booyah, baby. That's
cool.
English Isles. What are the English Isles? If you're one of the English Isles listeners, please let us know what that is.
No idea.
All right. Well, there you go. So shout out to those people. All right. Like Trey said, if you don't already follow us on all our social channels, please do so at Punchless MMA. The best way to support the show is by supporting our show sponsors. Go to stayclassymeats.com, use promo code FIST, or go to leadsclothing.com, use promo code PUNCH. And then Trey's got the other thing that he's got going on. What is it? Punch List for 20%. Gambler's Mentality. And then last but not least, on May 8th, here, Ladson, South Carolina, Punchless Crew, doing commentary for Ram FC. Go to ram-fc.com. Tickets available now. It'll also be available on pay-per-view. Your boy's going to be on the cans doing the commentary.
Oh, yeah.
And we just got word, if you were thinking about making the trip, but you weren't sure, if you're in the North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, that like we got this like triangle about 5-6 hour commute if you want to fly or drive in. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson's going to be in attendance. Matt Hughes is going to be in attendance. They're trying to get Pat Miletich in attendance. It's going to be a banger of an evening. 12 fights, pro kickboxing for the main event, mixed martial arts throughout the night, DJs, food, game, the whole nine, bro. It's going down. Everything you could want in an event. On top of the fact that the weigh-ins are taking place, Trey, your favorite establishment here in Somerville, South Carolina, the Honky Tonk Saloon, that Friday night, baby. So here we go, the Friday or the Friday before. So outstanding Saturday, May 8th, ram-fc.com. Let them know Punchless sent you, please, and thank you. All right, talk to you guys later. Be good to each other, and we'll see everybody on social media this weekend. You're in Vegas this weekend?
Friday.
When do you leave for Vegas? Friday?
Friday morning.
Awesome. Sounds good. I'll talk to you before then, I'm sure.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.